Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. What a wonderful privilege to be, first of all, in the house of the Lord. But it's a double honor to be here tonight to preach in this final midweek service. Really didn't have any idea that this was going to be the situation, but it is. And I feel like the Holy Ghost is in this place tonight in a very special way. Amen. I rejoice with you tonight in the impending, imminent transition. These are the only transitions I believe in. Hallelujah. We have folks out there that think they're a woman. A man thinks he's a woman, so they transition. And that's sad. But here we are tonight, right on the precipice of a whole new era. Amen. The apostolic movement here in Hot Springs is moving to a new level. Amen. A new place. And so I am excited for you, and I'm happy about what God is doing. And my hat is off to you as a church congregation who has gotten behind the vision of your pastor, his burden, and to bring this to a reality. These kinds of visions and efforts are not easy. There's a great price to pay. But on the other side of that, there's a great reward. Amen. And I believe that Calvary Pentecostal has just begun. Amen. It's just begun. Hallelujah. I want to direct your attention tonight to the book of Acts chapter 1 while you're finding that in scripture. I do want to say how much I appreciate your pastor, his wife, their family. I love them very much. I have great respect for them and the works that they're doing in the kingdom of God and their support for the work of God, not just in Hot Springs, but in other places in the world. And we appreciate them so very, very much. I want to try to follow the Holy Ghost tonight. I just got back into the States from Africa last Friday night late. And I'm still trying to make the adjustment to this time difference, 7 or 8 hours. And, of course, being there for 2 weeks in the country of the Congo as well as in Rwanda, we saw a lot of wonderful things that took place. And I don't really want to take time tonight to talk about it because I feel like that we need to spend our time in the Word. And but God did some great things, and I appreciate what the Lord did. Amen. So we're reading tonight from Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. He said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after," everybody say after, "showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." I want to read one other verse in Job chapter 42, verse number 16, one verse. Scripture simply says, "After this lived Job." 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. Acts tells us that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion. The word passion there means suffering. After his suffering. And then Job 42 said, after this lived Job. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on the first two words of Job 42:16. After this. Amen. After this. And everybody shout amen. Amen. Would you praise him one more time? Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Now I know what I feel in these scriptures tonight, but somehow I also feel that the Holy Ghost would use this to set the stage for the coming years ahead for Calvary Apostolic Church. I really did not consider it in that light until just the past, little while, just the past few hours, or even especially since this service has been in progress. But whenever you read the word of the Lord, you will find that there are patterns in the word of God that help us to understand the ways of God. Amen. Patterns in scripture will help you understand the ways of God, not just his actions, but his ways. Psalms 103 and verse 7 said, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So that one verse tells us that Israel saw the acts of God. They saw what God did. But Moses saw and knew the ways of the Lord, because God made known his way. So while Israel only saw what God did, Moses knew why God did it. And I'm not just interested in seeing what God is doing. I want to know why God is doing it. I want to understand the underlying reason why he's doing it. Amen. And so as you study the scripture, then you will begin to see these patterns that will help you recognize what the ways of God are. And one pattern that you're going to notice is that God always places a limit on the devil. And he always places a limit on problems in our life. Give you a couple of examples. The Lord was speaking to Abraham, and he talked about how that Abraham's seed would be afflicted in a strange land for 400 years. Now, that's a long time for a people to be afflicted in the land. That is a strange land. But to me, it's not so much significant about the amount of time as it is that God set a time limit. God said, this is how long it's going to happen. And when 400 years is up, they're coming out of that place. They're going to have deliverance from that place of bondage. Amen. When the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah, the prophet, concerning Israel going into captivity in the land of Babylon, the Lord said that they would be there for 70 years. Amen. God said, I'm letting them go into captivity. They're going to be taken captive by their enemy, but it will only be for a period of 70 years. I am going to put a limitation on it. It's not going to be an open-ended ended situation. I want to preach tonight to us that are in this house. I want to talk to all of us to let you know that it doesn't really matter what your situation is or what you are facing in life. You can be confident of one thing. God has already set an expiration date on that problem. Hallelujah. When he walked upon this earth, he established the time limit of his death. He said to those that were hearing that day, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. You might kill this body, you may put me in the grave, but trust me, I will only be there for 72 hours. I've got the time limit established. Oh, my, I feel Holy Ghost in this house. When the devil and God were talking to one another, and the devil challenged God about Job, the Lord said to the devil, he said, all right, you can take everything he has. You can put your hand on his wealth. You can destroy all of that. But he said, you cannot touch the man. And so all of that happened. There was complete destruction, theft. There was a wipeout of all the wealth of Job. And the devil comes back because Job has not cursed God. And Job has not lost his integrity with God. And so he comes back and he challenges God for the man and his own health. He said that a man will curse you based on whether or not he is sick or well. And the Lord said, all right, devil, you can touch the man, but you cannot take his life. Hallelujah. Some of y'all need to thank God tonight that the devil don't have the power of life and death. Hallelujah. Devil, you might touch me, but you can't kill me. You can't take my life. You can't destroy me. Woo! Hallelujah. There was a limitation that was placed. God said, this is how far that you can go. This is the limit to what you can go, and you cannot go any further. I want to help somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight. Before you give up, you understand that God has set the limit on your situation. That God has set the boundaries of how far the devil can go. Oh, hallelujah. I fear tonight that there are people among us and in the apostolic movement that you give up right at the point where the Lord is saying that's the stopping point of hell. You're going to go from this place to a place of deliverance, to a place of victory, to a place of triumph. Let me just tell you what you got to learn how to do. You got to outlast the devil. I'm going to say that one more time. You got to outlast the devil. Woo, hallelujah. My. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I believe that it's important that no matter what comes your way, that you just look at the devil and say, you know what? First of all, you're a liar. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us, according to even Jesus in John chapter 10, he said, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yeah. It says he comes to do it. But it doesn't mean he's going to have the power to do it. He just comes to steal. He comes to kill. And he comes to destroy. We need some folks to rise up in 2024 and say, devil, you're not getting my worship. You're not getting my praise. You're not getting my victory. You're not going to get my marriage. You're not going to get my children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I'm not searching for words. I'm just trying to figure out what to say first. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. There were things that Jesus went through that he came out unscathed. There were situations that he faced that did not affect him. He came out untouched. The word of the Lord said that he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now let me stop long enough here to tell you that everything that happens to you in your life is not the devil's fault. Sometimes God leads you into a wilderness. But he doesn't lead you into a wilderness to destroy you. He leads you into the wilderness so that you can come out of that wilderness more powerful than what you were when you went in that wilderness. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4 tells us that he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. But before chapter 4 closes, it said he came out in the power of the Spirit. Was he tempted? Yes, but he came out in the power. Did the enemy try to trick him? Yes, but he came out victorious. Woo, hallelujah. Did the devil try to trip him up? Yes. But when he came out in the power of the Spirit. He was unaffected by the temptations. He was unaffected by the efforts of hell. Even during a 40-day time in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. There were times when the people didn't like what Jesus was saying, preaching, teaching. And they picked up stones to stone him. They started flinging stones at him. And the word of the Lord said that he just walked through their midst. Not one stone touched him. Not one stone hit him. He wasn't bruised by anything. He went through a time when he was rejected by everybody. He went through a time when they didn't like what he was saying and they started tossing stones at him, but he was completely unaffected by what was thrown at him. There was another time whenever, again, because of what he taught, because of what he preached, that they would have thrown him headlong down a cliff. He was right at a place. They were on the edge of a cliff. And they would have pushed him off the cliff and destroyed his life. But the word of the Lord said he just moved through the crowd and left. It was almost as if everybody had blinders on. Nobody could find him. He just moved right through the crowd. Because what I'm trying to show you is that there were things he went through that did not affect him, that did not touch him. He was unscathed by those things. Amen. And there are times that you and I go through things that nobody knows we've gone through it. because we're unaffected by it. We're not touched by it. Our faith has not been affected. Our walk with God has not been negatively affected. We come on back to church and nobody's the wiser. You may have been fighting hell all this week, but you're here tonight. You're still victorious. Amen. We go through things. We go through things like the three Hebrew boys who were thrown in the fiery furnace. And whenever they got thrown in the furnace, the scripture said, the king said, did not we cast three men? Lo, I see four. And the fourth one's like the Son of God. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to tell you something, friend, that when they came out of that furnace, the Bible tells us their hair was not burned. The smell of smoke was not upon them. You hear me when I tell you that sometime you're going to go through that fiery furnace. But you can come out without the smell of the furnace on you. You can come out without the effects of the trial upon your life. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, the king looked down there and said, lo, I see four loosed walking around in the fire. We bound them and we threw them in the fire, but I see four men loosed in the fire. Hallelujah. In fact, I might need to tell you that sometime it's not time to come out of the fire, but you don't have to be bound in the fire. You may be in the furnace, but you don't have to be bound in the furnace. Woo! Just because you're in the furnace doesn't mean that you got to be bound where you can't clap, where you can't run, where you can't shout, where you can't praise, where you can't worship. Hallelujah. You might not be time to come out of the fire, but it ain't time to be bound in the fire. Come on out with your praise. Come on out with your worship. Come on out with your dance. Hallelujah. When you come out, you can come out without the smell of smoke on you. You can come back to church and it's as if that you were never in the flames because you were unaffected. You were untouched by what you went through. Come on, I know where I'm at. I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You hear me tonight? You can be like a Daniel in the lion's den, that God shuts the mouths of the lions and you're totally unaffected by the night that you spend in the den of lions. Amen. You can be seated. We go through things that were unaffected. We're unscathed, just like Jesus. But I have to tell you tonight, the Calvary was a different experience. Calvary was an experience that affected Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Stripes on his back. I'm not preaching a long time, but I'm not going to be in a hurry either, because this is not one of those messages I feel like I need to rush through. Because Calvary was not what everything else was. Calvary was a bloody sight. Calvary was where he was bruised for our iniquities. Calvary was where he was wounded for our transgressions. Calvary was where the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Calvary was where stripes were put on his back. Calvary was where a crown of thorns was placed on his head. Calvary was where nails were driven into his hands and into his feet, and a spear was thrust into his side. Amen. Calvary affected Jesus. He never got hit by a rock that day. He didn't get bruised by that. But he got bruised by Calvary. Amen. They didn't throw him off the cliff. He just left the crowd. But Calvary, they nailed him to the cross. Calvary was a horrible sight. Calvary was suffering almost beyond the imagination of anybody's mind and thought process. But it was on the cross, in the midst of all of the pain that he was going through. It was when he was hanging on Calvary with blood dripping out of his hands and his feet. Calvary, when blood was trickling down his face from where the thorns pierced his brow. It was there that he prayed, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Hallelujah. Into your hands. You see, friend, when you're going through something that has crucified you, when you're dealing with a situation that you feel bloody, you feel bruised, you feel crucified because of what others have done and what others have said, there comes a point where you have to make a decision as to who you want your spirit to be handled by. Hallelujah. On the cross, Jesus said, "I'm going to put my spirit in the hand of the Father. I'm going to put my spirit in the hand of someone that can take care of my spirit." You hear this preacher tonight, you can't let just anybody handle your spirit when you're going through a trial. You can't just let anybody handle your spirit when you're being crucified. You can't let a gossip handle your spirit. You can't let a hypocrite handle your spirit. You can't let a backslidden apostolic handle your spirit. Be careful. Be careful who you're talking to. Because when you're talking to someone during the time of your trial, during the time of your crucifixion, during the time of your struggle, when you're talking to someone, amen, they may not have your eternal destiny at heart. They may not have your welfare at heart. They may not have your spiritual future at heart. Amen. They may be looking for an excuse to find fault with the church, to find fault with people around you. You've got to make up your mind, "God, I'm going to put my spirit in your hands. I don't want the world touching my spirit. I don't want the devil touching my spirit. I don't want a bad attitude touching my spirit. I don't want someone with an ill motive touching my spirit. While I'm being crucified, I want you to preserve my spirit no matter what I've got to go through. Because when I come out of this, I want a clean heart. I want a clean spirit. I want a pure spirit. I don't want a spirit that's been polluted." I don't want my spirit to be poisoned by someone who's not concerned about my salvation. Hallelujah. When you're going through a crucifixion, You need to be careful who touches your spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus went through a horrible situation. I am not here tonight to tell you that you never go through something that doesn't injure you, that doesn't bruise you, that doesn't pierce your soul. I'm not going to come here tonight and tell you that all your problems, all your troubles, and all the things you go through, amen, that they're really just a figment of your imagination, or that you've magnified the problem. I'm just telling you, every one of us go through things that ill affect us. Amen. It messes with our spirit. It messes with our mind. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. So what I have come tonight to do is tell you that when you've been crucified, you need to respond like Jesus responded. Amen. You need to do what Jesus did. Because when I read Acts chapter 1, it tells us that he showed himself alive after his passion, after his suffering. He showed himself alive. Did he have scars? Yes. Did he have a place in his side that had been pierced with a spear? Yes. Did he have scars on his forehead? Yes. Did he have stripes upon his back? Absolutely. But the Bible tells us that he showed himself alive. Hallelujah. What I've come to preach tonight is that when you've been crucified, after this, I said after this, you got to show yourself alive. You got to stand back up and say, oh yeah, I've been bruised. Oh yes, I've been injured. Oh yes, I've been disappointed, but I'm still here. I'm still living for God. I'm coming back to worship. I'm coming back to praise. I'm coming back to live for God. I can't hear you. After Calvary, he showed himself alive. After the spear, he showed himself alive. After the nails in the hands and feet, he showed himself alive. Come on. I'm not Jesus tonight. I've never been crucified like he was crucified. I've never been injured like he's been injured. And if he could show himself alive, I could show myself alive. I can come back to worship. I can come back to praise. I can. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but I do not find where Jesus went around showing everybody his scars. Come on. Pastor, I don't remember him going around saying, look what they did to me. Look, see that? That's what they did. See this right here? That's what they did to me. See those marks on my forehead? That's what they did. He didn't go around doing that. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about Thomas. Amen. But I want to show you about Thomas. Thomas said, except I put my finger into his hand and I thrust my hand into his side, I can't believe that he's alive. So when Jesus showed up, he showed up and said, Thomas, to one man, not to everybody, to one man who was struggling. Come on now. One man who was struggling with whether or not there was life after suffering, with whether or not you could survive a crucifixion, with whether or not you could come out of what you have been through. Hallelujah. Come on. He didn't go around saying, you got to come to a point where you got to quit talking about your crucifixion. You got to quit talking about what all you've gone through. And you got to make up your mind, I'm going to show myself alive. I'm not going to give the devil any opportunity to rejoice over what I've gone through. But I'm going to lift my voice and let the world know I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Only to Thomas did he say, put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Thomas, there's life after suffering. Thomas, you can live after a crucifixion. Here I am. There were three things that Jesus did. You read it in verse number 3. Number 1, he showed himself alive. Amen. Number 2, the scripture said he was seen of them for 40 days. That means he showed back up to church. Number 3, he spoke of things concerning the kingdom of God. So first of all, he showed himself alive. Second of all, he showed back up to church. And third of all, he talked about the right things. He talked about the kingdom. Woo! Hallelujah! He talked. Can I tell you tonight, I don't know what your this is, but there is an after this. There is always an after this. There is always an after this. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take the time tonight to go through everything Job went through, but let me just reference him. When he went into that trial, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He went through some major upheaval for the next number of days. He went through some major trials. This trial was a major trial, and it affected him. The Bible said he had sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He was covered with sore boils. In fact, the pain was so great, and I'm going to ruin a good message here right now, but anyway, that's all right. Pastor can preach it later. But the pain was so great, the scripture said that he took a piece of potsherd and he scraped his body with a piece of potsherd. If you don't know what a piece of potsherd is, it's a piece of broken pottery. It's just a sliver of pottery, just a piece of a fragment of something that's been broken. And he scraped those sore boils. The only relief he could get was from something that was broken. Hallelujah. And the only relief some folks are going to get is from somebody who's already been broken. When you're wondering why that you've had to be so broken by God, it just might be that God's getting you ready to help somebody else, to give somebody else some relief through their brokenness. Sometimes we're so guilty of weeping and mourning over what we are going through. But don't forget, before he could feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he had to break the loaves. He had to break the loaves before they could feed the 5,000. I'm trying to help every one of us to understand, when you're broken, get ready. God's about to use you to help somebody else. I think it was Ezekiel chapter 3. And I got to hurry here, but I got so many things coming to my mind. It was Ezekiel chapter 3 where Ezekiel said that I went down by the river of Shebar, and he said, I sat where they sat. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those in captivity, those that were in bondage, those that were struggling. He said, I sat where they sat. Sometimes the only way you can help somebody is to learn how to sit where they sit. Learn how to feel some empathy toward what they're going through. Come on, before you write them off, before you say there's no, amen, I don't want to spend any time with that. Sometimes you just need to sit where they sit. Because if you can sit where they sit and you can hear some of their pain and you can feel some of their pain, you can hear their heartbeat and you can sense what they're going through, then you're able to give them a little bit of encouragement. But if you don't learn how to sit sometime where somebody else sits, you'll never get to a point where you can help them. Hallelujah. So it was in chapter 42, verse 10. It said, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Here is a man with the scars. Her soul boils. I don't know if you've ever had a boil or not. I have. As a young man, as a child, I remember having them under my left arm so bad that I walked around like this for days because the pain was so great and the swelling was so bad. Had them on this arm so that this arm was swollen from the elbow all the way down to the wrist. It was a horrendous experience as a young man. I can only imagine what Job went through with sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Here's a man scarred from his trial, affected by his trial. But the Bible said, after this, live Job. Hallelujah. After this, live Job. 140 years. After this. Because you see, there's always an after this. There's always an after this. I go through the scripture and I note that after every crisis in scripture, there was a revival. There was an after this for Job. He was left with scars, but he was blessed with twice as much as what he had before. And so I'm going to wrap this up tonight by telling you, there's an after this. There's an after this. I'm going to tell Calvary tonight there's an after this construction project. There's an after this labor and toil and stress and strain. There's an after this. I want to tell you what there was for Jesus. Wherefore, seeing, he said, we're compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Can I tell you where the cross was with Jesus? You see, here's our problem. We walk around with the cross like this. Sorry about that. We walk around with a cross like this. It's in front of us. The only thing we can see is the cross. The only thing we can see is the pain. The only thing we can see is the suffering. But the word of the Lord tells us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He kept the cross behind him. He kept the cross in the proper perspective. You can remain standing. 40 days later, there was a Pentecost. 3,000 received the Holy Ghost in one day. You know why? Because Jesus showed himself alive. Amen. In a day or two or three, this church will make a transition from this location to another location. It won't be long before the building will be complete. And you'll drive by this and you'll say, this was this. But now that's after this. Hallelujah. That's after this. There's a revival. There's a Holy Ghost revival. I believe I can just say this, not just for hype, not just to fill time and space, but God has some plans in mind, and they're great plans. And it's sometime, it's what we have to go through. And I will tell you, I know, I can identify the load that your pastor is under. And as he's looking and seeing light at the end of the tunnel, I know that there's got to be, with him and his wife, there's got to be feelings, even sometimes mixed emotions. Hallelujah. But all of what has been accomplished, I can tell you in the Holy Ghost, it will leave its mark on your pastor. Amen. But I feel like down the road, there's going to be a beautiful sight as he looks out from that platform in the new facility and starts counting the souls that's got the Holy Ghost. 1 year from now. 1 year from now. Because there's always, are you hearing me, church? There's always an after this. I don't know what your this is, but there's an after this. I don't know what description could be placed upon your trial, your trouble, but there's an after this. It's what you do after this. After this, the Bible said, Job lived. Hallelujah. There's life after suffering. There's life after the struggle. There's life after the crucifixion. Boy, I feel this so strong in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what you want to do tonight. I'm finished. I feel like the Holy Ghost has lifted the burden now. And I don't know what you want to do. Amen. Maybe you just want to come down here and say, Holy Ghost, I'm putting my spirit in your hand tonight. I'm putting my spirit in your hand tonight, Holy Ghost. I'm going to put my spirit. I want you to handle my spirit tonight. Because when I come through this, I want my spirit to be right. I want my spirit to be pure. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to have a wrong attitude. God, I'm praying. Let it be so. Come on, let's pray, church. I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to minister here tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to minister here tonight. I feel a Holy Ghost revival for this church after this. I feel a divine manifestation of God's power after this. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you lift your voice right now? Would somebody lift your voice? Come on, lift your voice. Let it be known. I may have gone through a great trouble, but I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. That's it. That's it. That's it. Lift your voice and pray. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.